Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi. And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 11th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Well, D.R., usually when I read this that little introduction that I read every week, I remind myself to smile, because you sound like you're smiling when you're when you actually are smiling on the telephone. People can tell.
Well, like Charlie Chaplin said, you got to smile even when your heart is breaking.
Yeah, well, it's tough to smile, but I'm trying to smile right now. I think that people who have listened to this show regularly know that we have been almost absolutely silent on the presidential campaign for the purposes of not even having the appearance of leaning one way or the other in electoral politics as opposed to policy. But for better or worse, the election's over, and there you go. We, in this conversation tonight and in the coming weeks, DR, I guess I want to remind our listeners that we are in the right. We are on the, we as climate hawks are on the right side of history. We are powerful, we're connected to each other, and we aren't going anywhere, no matter what the political scene presents to us. So, having said that, let's get to kind of the meat of the day, right? The worst possible outcome of the election was visited upon us this past Tuesday night, right? So Donald Trump has won. He's won the Electoral College. I've read that it's important to keep saying that Hillary Clinton won the national
vote.
The popular vote. The Democrats did not take the Senate, and the House, of course, stayed in its gerrymandered Republican hands. So there you go. Undivided government. The Republicans own the whole thing, and Donald Trump has been, shall we say, not... not a climate hawk. Let me just say that. Not a climate hawk. I think that we can talk about the, and we will, I'm sure, the details of why the election went it the way it did. And that's going to be talked about for decades. I think for our purposes, it's only important to the extent that it tells us how to move forward as climate hawks. Right. That's all I want to know about who voted how. But let me just tell people, and we can maybe share the sadness of going through these details, DR. But the main thing, of course, I mean, Trump has said repeatedly that climate change is a hoax, right? I mean, he's on record with that. And as president, he will be able to basically slow walk, if not cancel, the Clean Power Plan. Right? He will be able to appoint a Supreme Court justice that will be approved by a Republican Senate who will reject the Clean Power Plan at the Supreme Court level. He has promised, you know, he can't, we said a couple weeks ago, he cannot pull the United States out of the Paris Agreement, but he can deny it the oxygen. He cannot do anything, and the Paris Agreement may, and of course this is all to be discussed, all kind of run out of steam. Because the U.S., I mean, right now it's a creature of the U.S. and China pushing it. If the U.S. walks away, I don't know. And then, so you tell me something else terrible that he might do, DR. Who's he going to put in at EPA?
There have been a number of reports indicating that Myra Nobel of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a vehement climate change denier, is going to be nominated as the next head of the Environmental Protection Agency. And Harold Hamm, the sort of a natural gas mogul, may be a Secretary of Energy. And another climate change denier who runs the Lucas Oil Company may be Secretary of the Interior. So this is going to be perhaps the biggest anti-environmental crew since perhaps the people appointed in the first term of the Ronald Reagan administration, and those people are pretty notorious. This could be even worse.
Right. And what I've read that he will has invited Keystone XL to reapply for its cross-border application permission to come into the United States. And, of course, he wants to build more coal plants. I mean, those are haunting and terrible things, right? And it's just, I guess it's important, as far as I can see, it's important to face facts, right? This is what this guy can do. This is where we are. And until we, if we dream that Trump will become some sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, all of a sudden get green blood in his veins, I think we're kidding ourselves. He's I don't know, what do you got?
As the man himself
said,
wrong.
What a nasty idea.
And the sad thing is, you know, people, we've seen a lot of these stories saying it's not going to be that bad. You know, things may not be as awful as they're predicted to be. And I would submit to you that at least in the near term, anything done on a federal level is dead. There's speculation that basically absent a changing of the guard in the 2018 midterm elections, there's nothing going to be done on the federal level, that the Clean Power Plan, even if upheld by the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit and the U.S. Supreme Court, is dead and gone, that he will walk away from the Paris Climate Agreement, basically ignore the Paris Climate Agreement, and it'll be up to other signatories to honor the terms and conditions of the Paris Climate Agreement. And what that means is, frankly, a lot of pain and a lot of, no one wants to say it, a lot of death. Let's be honest here in terms of what the emissions are going to be from even a portion of what this guy's energy's policies will be if fully realized. You're going to blow past, you know, we very well could hit the proverbial tipping point where it just becomes uncontrollable as a result of this man's actions on energy.
Well, I think that so let's just say that the picture is exceedingly grim for climate hawks. I mean, how I guess what I'm wrestling with is, how do you proceed? What is your, what's your response? I mean, this kind of thing, I mean, it calls for poetry. I've seen, you know, climate hawks on Facebook, right, reading Wendell Berry. I wish I was poetic enough to have grabbed one of them. But, I mean, you know, grabbed one of the poems to read. But, I mean, this is where you have to look into your soul, right? This is a deeply, profoundly challenging circumstance, and the question is, how do you go, what do you want to do going forward? How do you make something out of it? And I mean, I think that's something that we as a movement have to grapple with.
Well, poetry, of course, is not policy, and in terms of implementing policy, there's been a lot of speculation that a lot of things can be done in states amenable to climate action, which is frankly states that did not vote for Mr. Trump in the general election. You know, we do recall that during the George W. Bush administration, there were states such as California and even states in the Northeast that took action to reduce carbon pollution, that implemented carbon pricing policies. And one would expect to be a more aggressive ramping up of such policies as a result of activism at the grassroots level in, you know, to basically make up for the fact that the red states will abandon any action on climate, and the feds and the federal government will abandon any action on climate. And again, grassroots citizen activism can work in that regard on a state level. It did work during the George W. Bush administration. There were a number of coal-fired power plants that were shut down during that administration. But again, it's going to be concentrated in what we call blue states, and it'll be interesting to see if those blue states can become as green as possible.
I mean, I hear you, and I think you're right. There are several, the research we've done in preparation for the show, I mean, there's several things that can happen at the state level and should be. And let me just, I'll put in multiple plugs for the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. We'll put up a link for a place you can go and volunteer and get help doing something in your community, right? Action is the antidote to despair. But I think that, I mean, for my own thing, it's a little bloodless to talk about what we can do at the state level. I mean, I'm talking about people's, my heart is hurting. I am sad. This is just really, really, and it's a burden for, I think it's a special burden because we right now, and the way you can think of it is that because of the lifetime of carbon dioxide in the air and the atmosphere, we are writing 10,000 years of history in the next 4 years, Right? Mm-hmm. The things that Trump does will have consequence thousands of years from now in terms of rising sea levels and changed planet and recovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an enormous consequence, and how to deal with that at a human level, I think, is important. And I don't know if it's I mean, I want to come to terms with it at a human level in order to come back and motivate the kinds of actions that we have to do. I mean, people have to come back with some sense of purpose and commitment. I mean, would you, I know you, I said bloodless before, that's a little harsh, I know you, but I mean, how do you think people should think, how do you think about this in your own heart?
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with being forced to face certain harsh political and social realities. I think the harsh political and social reality that I had, was thinking about this even before the outcome of this election, is that you always have to keep in mind how many people don't care. I had mentioned a while back in terms of the Leonardo DiCaprio movie Before the Flood and the Years of Living Dangerously series on National Geographic Channel, and my theory that it was only being watched in the blue states. And I hate to admit it, but if you do look up the ratings for Years of Living Dangerously on National Geographic, as great as well produced as that show is, you can just tell by the ratings that it's pretty much only the blue states watching it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to sort of face the reality that there is a limited audience for science and facts. Now, within the contours of that limited audience, you can generate a lot of passion and a lot of action. And you can get a lot of things done if you charge up and motivate that portion of the population that is amenable to science and facts. But the results should clarify for people that even though Hillary Clinton got a majority of the popular vote, there is a large section of the country that wants nothing to do with anything that comes out of Bill McKibben's mouth or Al Gore's mouth. And as Bruce Hornsby said 30 years ago, that's just the way it is, and some things will never change.
Okay, but I mean, tell me, how do you square that with the fact that the people in Florida voted in favor of solar power and also in favor of Mr. Trump? I wouldn't call him Mr. Trump. I'll call him the Donald, right? Anyway.
Well, in any election, you have cognitive dissonance between federal votes and state votes. And I'll give you an example. 20 years ago in California voted to reelect Bill Clinton, who supported affirmative action, while on the same night they voted for a ballot initiative called Proposition 209, which banned affirmative action. So, another example of cognitive dissonance also out of California is the night California voted in 2008 for Barack Obama. At the same time, they voted to ban marriage equality, even though Obama was being supported by those who, even though at the time he didn't openly support marriage equality, a number of his supporters did. So a bit of cognitive dissonance that you would vote for a guy supported by the LGBT community while at the same time, you know, voting to deny rights to the LGBT community. So in any election, you will have that sort of cognitive dissonance. And you just see it again in Florida. You see people voting against Amendment 1, which would have gutted solar, but they vote for a president and a senator who will gut solar. Again, trying to find the logic in those sorts of votes is always a frustrating exercise, let's just say.
But I guess, I mean, is there a path forward? I mean, something I've read says renewable energies are extremely popular. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think that's as true as people would like to believe. I think it is intensely popular in certain parts of the country and is seen as okay, I kind of like it in others. There are other parts of the country that kind of like clean energy, but will they go to the mattresses for it, so to speak? Of course they won't.
Well, I think that I guess in Climate Hawk land, this is a bad time. We've taken a big hit, and the What do you think? What do you think about the hit?
Well, again, there are reasons for hope. I mean, you see this resistance force, if you will, these people literally coast to coast protesting the results of the election, making it very clear and sending a message to elected officials that if they sort of sign on to Trump's agenda, and presumably that includes Trump's agenda on energy, there will be presumably political consequences for it. You see grassroots activism that has sprung up in the last few days as never before, as Americans who are horrified by the outcome of the election.
What you're saying is, and I think you're right, I mean, this is an opportunity to build alliances. Mm-hmm. The climate hawks, you know, that the people who are aghast at the outcome of the election need mm-hmm. to support each other, because no individual yes. group is strong enough. And this is mm-hmm. where I've seen this in several places of, you know, we talked about Ross Gelbspan a couple weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is yes. where you go find those people that support the people who are on your team. And, mm-hmm. and there's a link from Bill McKibben on Democracy Now. Have you seen that?
Yes.
I mean, he's making the case that, okay, Dakota Access Pipeline is the classic, mm-hmm. iconic little guy against the big guy case, and exactly. you need to support them.
And you see people who are supporting them from all different communities. I guess you could say that the Dakota Access protests and the protests against the outcome of the election prove that in many respects we are stronger together, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let me. We gotta close. So let me just say the following things wind up here. And let me repeat what I said at the beginning. I feel like climate hawks are on the right side of history. I mean, we are doing something that is, I will defend for 1,000 years, and would be happy to have my grandchildren look back and see what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think that climate activists know about each other. We should not feel isolated. We should not feel alone. We should not feel any smaller than we were before the election. I think mm-hmm. that one of the ways to address the issue of the sort of sadness that you get at the idea that Mr. Trump can do these things is to take action. And again, mm-hmm. for the third time, I'll say you can go to the Massachusetts Climate Action Network site. There's a link on the blog, and there's guidance. Even if you don't live in Massachusetts, don't be shy. Mm-hmm. You know, check in. But I think that these grim times, I mean, you have to look for examples. I mean, I mm-hmm. was thinking, you know, Nelson Mandela spent 24 years on Robben's Island, right? Mm-hmm. With no hope that what he was doing was going to pan out ever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Martin Luther King sat in the Birmingham jail at like the lowest moment of his life. Mm-hmm. But then he came out and he won. I mean, mm-hmm. Winston Churchill said, "I can only offer you blood, sweat, and tears." Right, and mm-hmm. it wasn't even before the album came out. Right? I can only offer you that, and mm-hmm. he was right. But I guess, as I said before, in the next 4 years, we are going to write 10,000 years of human history. Right, we mm-hmm. are making that's an exciting place to be, but it tells mm-hmm. you the stakes, and it allows you to have call for your own gut check. Right, mm-hmm. how much do you care about this? Right, mm-hmm. are you going to do so? Are you going to walk away, or are you going to do something about it? And I would urge mm-hmm. everyone listening to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Right, there was a great a tweet from Wen Stevenson. Right, it's three words. It was resolve, resilience, and resistance. And mm-hmm. I think that's where we have to be. We have to start there, that we aren't going anywhere. We will find a way to stop Trump, and we mm-hmm. will continue. We will find allies to resist. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, does that make any sense to you? You get the last word here.
It makes sense, but there's also another R, which is reality. And I think that there are a lot of people who are coming out of this election are clinging to a view that somehow people with whom they disagree can be persuaded. And I don't necessarily believe that is the case. I believe the case is to galvanize people who are open to action, open to change. And I think the outcome of this election proves, as I told to a friend, Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton should have completed the thought, you know, hate is hate is hate. just as much as love is love is love. And we'll see if love really does trump hate, or if the reverse is true. We shall see. We shall see if those who love their kids and their grandkids will be able to trump those who really don't give a damn about them.
Well, okay, so there you go. That's DR. We'll put up links to what we have discussed on the blog at massclimateaction.org/blog. I'll put up a link to the volunteer section of MCAN where you can at least begin to climb. If you've never done anything, it's an opportunity to get in the mix. There are activities in towns across the state. If you don't live in Massachusetts, don't be shy. We're here for you, and we can even cross state lines with telephones and stuff nowadays. We're pretty good up here in Massachusetts.
That's right.
You can find us on Facebook at /MassClimateAction. You can listen to us on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You can find us on iTunes. You can remember that we are always here. So we'll close where we always close. But actually, I guess I'm going to change it. We recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions because we accept responsibility for building a durable future because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out because we believe we have the resolution, the resilience, and the resistance to take action. We have to insist that the United States, including Mr. Trump, put a price on carbon. Right there?
Mm-hmm. We've got to make America green again.
We've got to make America green again. Anyway, stay strong, buck up. We will overcome. Anyway, DR, thank you for being here. We'll talk to you all again soon. Don't go anywhere. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.